You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson. And everybody, welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to Genesis chapter 20, verse 7, where we left off last time. Genesis chapter 20, verse 7. Just before we begin, I want to pay respect and remember with love our friend Robert Morrow, who passed on a few days ago. His brother Billy is with us, and our heart goes out to Billy. We love Robert. 2 years ago, Robert was told he didn't have another minute to live, and a lot of us got to praying, and God gave him 2 years. We do know that he prayed the salvation prayer with Scott, and I got to pray with him quite a few times, and we love him. He was a veteran, and he suffered much for serving our country. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you to receive Robert into your hand. We ask you to forgive all of his sins and love him always, and let not his heart be troubled. Take all of the pain out now and give him love and joy unspeakable and full of glory. We ask you to comfort his brother Billy's heart, and we thank you for his life. We remember with love Robert Morrow. And now, Genesis chapter 20, verse 7. This is a strange teaching here tonight because it's got three bizarre stories. But you know what the Lord showed me? The three bizarre stories are about you. You have come to the right place tonight. The first one is going to tell you that from the very time you entered into this planet through your mother's womb, the devil and all of his ilk were trying to keep you from going and being in the destiny God had planned for you, because he has a purpose for every single life. The second story will tell us that you win, because greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. Hallelujah. And so you win. And then the third one will tell you that though the devil is so mad you stepped into your destiny, he'll still try to pick at you. He'll do little things like cut your tape recorder off when you're teaching the Bible. And he does these picky things to deflect your energies so you won't keep your focus, so you'll give up. But you know what? The third story says you still win. God comes in and perfects that. So there you have it. Now, Genesis 20, verse 7. Last week, we learned that Abraham and Sarah had been visited by God, and God said, you're going to have a son named Isaac, and through Isaac's seed, the genealogy there, the lineage, would come the Messiah, where we know him as the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, before she got pregnant, they were very old. She was 89 and he was 99. They took a little trip, and they visited a heathen king's territory, Abimelech. Well, Abimelech took one look at Sarah. She was one more gorgeous woman. She was so beautiful. Everywhere that she went with Abraham, all the men wanted her. And the heathen king, Abimelech, took her into his palace, but he hadn't touched her yet. And that night, God himself appeared to Abimelech in a dream and said, Abimelech, you are dead meat. Now, that'll wake you up. So Abimelech said, why? What have I done? And God says, that woman is Sarah. She's married to Abraham. And for that, I'm going to wipe you out and your whole nation. And Abimelech said, now, wait a minute. She told me that she was his sister. So God said, okay, I know you didn't know. I'm going to give you a chance. Here's what I want you to do, Abimelech. Give Sarah back to Abraham, untouched as she is. do that, and then ask Abraham to pray for you, and I'll answer his prayer, and you shall live. And that's where we pick it up right now.
Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee.
Abraham was an intercessory prayer. Remember, we had a beautiful teaching last time of the intercessory prayer for Lot. You want to do something good with your life, you want to develop the art of intercessory prayer. It's not a ritual. It's not words. It's not things you say. It's when your heart prays by the anointing of the Holy Spirit for other people. But even when you kneel to pray, your prayer is for others. You can be in your prayer closet and do more good in this world than most people would ever do in a whole lifetime, because prayer changes the heart of God. It's so unselfish. Nobody pays you. Nobody says thank you. They don't know you're doing it, and that's the best. But Jesus sees in secret, and he'll reward you openly.
And thou shalt live, and if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die.
Just in case Abimelech, says God, you decide you're going to keep this beautiful woman, you're going to be in trouble. Obedience brings blessings. Disobedience brings cursings. Just do the next thing the Holy Spirit tells you to do. Follow step by step. Don't be concerned about the bigger plan. Just walk in the light you are and obey, and you'll be blessed. God loves to bless you. He loves you.
Thou and all that are thine. Therefore, Abimelech rose early in the morning,
his people, his board and everything, and said, God's going to kill us all. And they didn't know this God, that he was merciful, that he would keep his word and not kill them. Here's what had happened. Because he had taken Sarah, and see, God was upset about that, because that wouldn't make her lineage not pure. Then he couldn't send the Messiah. That was the devil trying to keep, that's the first story, trying to keep Jesus from coming, keep the destiny from coming. So God had shut up every female womb in Abimelech's nation. That would make a nation go extinct. What if nobody ever again in America had any more babies? Eventually, we wouldn't be here, would we?
And the men were so afraid. And then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, what hast thou done unto us? And what have I offended thee, that thou hast brought this upon me and my kingdom, a great sin?
Abraham, what have you done? You've made me sin before God. Now, for a heathen king, sounds to me like he knows a little bit about sin, doesn't it? Be careful about judging by the outer appearance. Don't do it. God looks on the heart. Sometimes the most righteous-looking people are not so clean on the inside. And sometimes the most bizarre-looking people are pure and holy on the inside. So let's just go for the heart. When I was a little girl, 7 years old, I said, Lord, give me an understanding heart. To everybody I meet, let me not care about the outside. Let me see their heart. Do you know he granted me that? He'll give that to you if you want it for the right reason, so you can go into a person's heart and love their heart and love them just like they are.
Amen. Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. 10. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what sayest thou that thou hast done this thing?
How do you explain this?
11. And Abraham said, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place.
Abraham said, I didn't know anybody here had any morals. I thought you were all heathen. And because Sarah is so beautiful, I just figured a heathen king would kill me to get the beautiful woman.
And they will slay me for my wife's sake. 12. And yet indeed she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother.
He didn't exactly lie. They were half brothers and half sisters. They had the same father, but they had different mothers. In Bible times, they God told them to repopulate the earth, so they would try to keep it within the family, so this often happened. But here's a good lesson. In counseling people, there have been a few times that I felt after prayer that it would be best for them to not go on and tell some of the rest of the story, that it would do no good, that it would do more harm. But in other cases like this one, what you don't know can hurt you. So, is half a truth okay, or should we go the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? I would say this, in a relationship, wouldn't you feel better if you were able to tell the other person the whole truth and they'd still love you anyway? Yes.
And she became my wife. 13, it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, this is the kindness that thou shalt show me, that every place whither we shall come saith me, he is my brother. 14,
Now, you might say, well, what is the matter with Abraham? Obviously, he loved Sarah. We can see from other stories in the Bible that he loved her. This is what you want to know about Abraham. Whatever God told him, he believed it, no matter how ridiculous. Just like God told him he's going to have a son. He's 99 years old. And God told him that Isaac was going to be born of Sarah's womb and the Messiah would come through that lineage. So he didn't have to say, well, maybe God forgot. Maybe I need some help here, like Sarah tried to help out by giving him Hagar. So see, what you do, make your life simple. Find God's promise and simply believe it. Every promise is yes and amen with God. And if you will believe that promise, God said it, and at the appointed time it's going to come to pass, and you don't have to worry about it a bit. He knew that God was going to protect her womb. I'm kind of beginning to think that he liked all the things he gets. You're going to find out that each one of these heathen kings would give him money, you know, so he wouldn't kill them, or God wouldn't kill them.
Well, I took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants, and gave them unto Abraham, and restored unto him Sarah, his...
Kind of like a dowry. In other words, this would be, I would have married her if she weren't already married, and this is what I would have given for the dowry, so I'm going to make it up to you, he says.
Wife. 15. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before thee. Dwell where it pleaseth thee.
Abimelech wants to save his nation. You can stay here, you and Sarah traveling. You know, a prophet makes a pretty good neighbor. The first thing that happens when the prophet comes in your area, all the demons of hell come out of the woodwork and try to stop that because you're messing up their territory. But the prophet always wins because the prophet is an anointed speaker. Prophet means an anointed speaker. The anointing is Jesus Christ, and it means he paints himself on you, so the demons only see Jesus painted on you and they're scared to death. But then when the demons flee, something starts to happen and the atmosphere starts changing. Because every prophet is an intercessory prayer, and the prophet prays the fire of God down by the Holy Spirit, and the atmosphere changes, and holy angels start covering the land, and the Holy Spirit starts moving and breathing, and the people start getting healed, and there's a peace that passes understanding, and things get in order. Hallelujah. Next time you move, move near a prophet.
16, unto Sarah he said, behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes.
That's an Hebraism, covering of the eyes. In Bible times, if the man returned the woman back to her father's house, she was disgraced forever. It meant she was not worthy, she was not desirable, and she could never, no man would ever have her again. So he takes this silver and says, Sarah, if you weren't married, I would still want to marry you. So I'm giving you this money sort of as a token. It's also a dowry. so you will know that you don't have to be ashamed. I still want you, but God will kill me if I marry you.
And to all that are with thee, and with all other, thus she was reproved. 17. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife, and his maidservants, and they their children. 18. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wounds of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife.
So you see, everybody, Abimelech's nation's going to stand. Now, that's the first story. See, the devil was trying to pollute Sarah's womb so the Messiah could not come through. Over and over and over, every time God chose one of the Adamic races for the Lord Jesus to come through, the devil would come and do something about it. But as you can see, the devil did not win. Now we're going to watch God's plan, or you step into your destiny.
Genesis chapter 21, verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken.
Well, what had he spoken? He had told her a year before that 1 year from now, you're going to conceive and bear a son. His name will be Isaac, which means laughter. And through him will come the Messiah, and whosoever will may be saved. So it means, hey, with all of that, and those of you who've been missing, there was a lot more before that. You can catch it on the radio. That, yes, God kept his promise. Now she's in her destiny.
Verse 2, for Sarah conceived and bear Abraham a son in his old age at the set time in which God had spoken.
At the set time. God has a day planner, an appointment book, and he's got your name all written in there. Tuesday, a certain year. Wednesday, another year. This month, that month. Got your name by it. And God says, by appointment, please. Everything's a lot more beautiful when everything's by appointment. So you see, there's an appointment for you. There was an appointment for you to come up and get saved. There was an appointment for you to walk into your destiny. Tonight is an appointment for you to give up all of the past and give all of your life completely to Jesus. Tonight is an appointment for you. Tomorrow is an appointment for you. And God's got that time. So when God has told you something and it hasn't yet come to pass, just appointment, please. When it comes down, he opens his day planner, and there's your name. Boom. He's going to keep it. Hallelujah.
3. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac.
Isaac means laughter. And I know that you have troubles, and all of us human beings do, but we should be giggly, hilariously joyous, because this is not it. We're just sojourning through this little flesh life. Our Savior paid our sin debt, and we have eternal life, joy unspeakable and full of glory forever.
4. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old.
We had a beautiful teaching about circumcision. Actually, it aired on the radio yesterday. Circumcision is simply a symbol of the Son of God, who is the stem of God the Father, being pierced and shedding blood, which at that point, that was a symbol that the Messiah would come, would be pierced, and would shed his blood for sins. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And it always had to be on the 8th day, new beginning.
As God had commanded him. 5. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. 6. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh.
She had been very unhappy because she was barren. In Bible times, if a woman did not have children, everybody thought she was under God's curse, but she's happy now. She's got a double happy. Not only does she have a child, but through his lineage is going to come the Savior of the world. And we are blessed by that because our Savior is Jesus.
so that all that hear will laugh with me. 7. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah would have given children suck?
We might say today, she said, who'd have thunk it?
For I have borne him a son in his old age. 8. And the child grew and was weaned.
Oh, now in Bible times, they would often nurse the child until he was about 5 years old or more. But you see, you got saved and you were a baby Christian. And at first we feed the milk, we get the salvation story really good. But there's a time to be weaned from the milk. We never throw it away. But we go on to the meat of the word, even the mystery of God. We go on so we understand the mystery of God, that there was an earth age before this. And that's when the beautiful cherub Lucifer said, I will be God, and deceived one third of God's children. We were there in the spiritual bodies. See, very few Christians know this. That's why we are here. Because one third of God's children followed him. And that was treason in heaven. And God gave us this second chance. And Jesus took a body and gave us the body. And he came and paid the sin debt. I mean, see, this is something people don't know. You need to know there was a seduction in the garden. You need to know the order of the seven trumps. We're the fifth trump now. It's time of learning. It's just almost ended. The sixth trump is Antichrist. His time has been shortened for the elect's sake, Mark 13. And then there's a seventh trump. So you see, there's more to just being saved. There's a whole unraveling of God's heart that never stops. It's so interesting. God is so exciting and so interesting. Amen. You don't want to stay with the milk.
And Abraham made a great feast the same day when Isaac was weaned.
I bet he had things he thought Isaac would like to eat.
9. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham mocking.
Uh-oh. Now here we go. We're in our destiny, but here comes the third story. The devil says, doggone it, I can't keep the Messiah from coming. I can't keep your destiny from you, but I can pick at you a little bit. Hagar, remember, Sarah got her to go in with Abraham, and they had a child, Ishmael, but God said, Ishmael is not the promised seed. Messiah is not coming through that. Ishmael, by this time, would be about 14 years old. He was used to being the crown prince, so I'm sure he's very jealous of Isaac. Sometimes when people are mean to you, they're just jealous of you. Don't take it to heart.
10. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son.
If mama's not happy, nobody's happy. Kick her out, says Sarah.
For the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son.
You know, for once, Sarah's right. She's been making a lot of mistakes. But she does know that her son Isaac is the one through whom the Christ child would come, Jesus, not Ishmael. But see, the devil there would start picking and deflecting and saying it ought to be Ishmael, and that could cause a lot of disturbance.
Even with Isaac. 11. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight. Because of his son. 12.
It broke his heart because he loved Ishmael.
God said unto Abraham.
Oh, but wait a minute. God's going to talk to him. Remember this. The reason he wasn't worried about Sarah being molested. God had said through her womb would come Jesus. So he trusted God to keep his word. Now God's going to tell him something about Ishmael. And he's going to believe it. Which will explain his actions.
Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman.
Don't worry, Abraham, says God.
And all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called.
And that's also verified in Romans chapter 9. In Isaac's son shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Down umbilical cord to umbilical cord, finally through Mary, came the Lord Jesus Christ.
And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation.
Now, this is the word. This is it. Your son Ishmael is also going to be a great nation. So Abraham says, oh, if Ishmael's going to become a great nation, Ishmael's going to live. So if I send him away, he's not going to die. Okay, God said it, so I'll believe it. Oh, that we could believe as a child. Jesus said, except you believe and come to me as a little child, you can't even enter the kingdom. If a child has a good parent, the child will listen to anything the parent says. The parent says, jump off the cliff, I'll catch you. The child would do it. So Abraham heard that. Oh, Ishmael's going to become a great nation. That means he's going to live, he's going to get married, he's going to have children. Okay, no problem.
Because he is thy seed. 14, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder.
Abraham was one of the richest men in the world at this time. Because all of these people wanting Sarah would give him money to get him out of town. But God had blessed him and promised to make him rich. And yet he just gives a jar of water. Why is that? Because God had said Ishmael would become a great nation. That means that God's hand was on Ishmael. God would protect Ishmael. You know, sometimes we try to be God in our lives or in others' lives. We are to help people, and we are, as our little song says, sometimes we're God's hands, and we always help people. But we're not the ones who make the destiny. We let God take care of that.
And the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba.
That means a well of seven oaths. In other words, an oath is a promise. Seven's God's perfect number. And well means water.
15. And the water was spent in the bottle.
No more water. And it was desert hot sun out there. Uh-oh.
And she cast a child under one of the shrubs. 16.
He had become almost comatose. He was just faint from thirst. So she put him under a little shrub to try to shield him from the sun and just lay him down there. And she walks away. She can't bear to see her child die.
And she went and sat her down over against him, a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. 17. And God heard the voice of the lad.
Wait a minute. It was Hagar who cried. God heard the voice of the lad. But the lad is dying. He doesn't have any energy. He's in a coma. And you know how it was with you? It was so hard, it was so bad, it was so dry, it was so painful. You couldn't even open your mouth and tell anyone how much you hurt, but your soul was bleeding out, you were crying, and God heard you. God hears you when your soul bleeds out. Amen. Hallelujah.
And the angel of the Lord called unto Hagar out of heaven.
The angel of the Lord is God himself.
Said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is.
We've heard his soul bleeding out, God says. I know where he is. See, in your darkest moment, when it looks like there's no other way, God knows right where you are, and you're going to find out that there's help right where you are. And it doesn't have to be in a person. It's help you don't see, but is there.
Amen.
18, arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thy hand.
He's not able to get up. Pick him up and prop him up with your shoulder.
For I will make him a great nation.
Ha, I'm going to make him a great nation. You know what the nation is? He does get married, and he has 12 sons. The Bible tells us they are 12 dukes, D-U-K-E-S, royalty. And they are the leaders of all of the Arab nations today. You know the Arab nations fighting in the Middle East? That's Ishmael's children. That's the great nation. The Arabs are a great nation. And that's it, right down today. Did you know that? Well, say yes.
Night, Jean. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water.
She saw a well of water, which is what she needed. But listen, the well of water had been there all the time. God opened her spiritual eyes to see it. So see, in your darkest despair, when there's no hope and you can't find any way out, right where you are is a well of water. Jesus is the living Amen. Word. Amen. Jesus is the living water. And you drink of him and he will help you. I'll tell you, something else is all around you and don't see it, but I do. There are holy angels all around you wherever you go. There are angels assigned to watch over you and guard you. So see, you say, I'm so alone, I'm so alone. And the angels are there and they try to help you do little things and protect you. But the Holy Spirit of the living God is with you. The well that would never run dry. Help is always with you. You are never without help. His name is Jesus, the Bible, the Holy Spirit, the living word, the well of water. Be washed with water by the word of God.
Hallelujah.
You are never without hope. He'll never leave you and never forsake you.
And she went and filled the bottle with the water and gave the lad drink. 20. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer.
Warriors. Remember Yasser Arafat, the one who always wore his military garb? I bet you do. Well, that's Ishmael. Warriors.
21. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran. And his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt.
Oh, he has a wife. Now we can have those 12 sons, and then they can become the leaders, umbilical cord to umbilical cord, of all of the Arab nations together today. And that's it.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
I hope that you were blessed. Thank you very much. So you see, the devil has tried to keep you from your destiny. And sometimes you got tripped up really badly. But the very fact that you're here to hear God's word is reaching out to God. And so now you step into your destiny by believing the Lord Jesus Christ and living his word and growing from the milk to the meat of the word. And every now and then the devil will try to kick at you, but you just go back to the word, know the well of water is right there, and God will see you safely through. You are a person of destiny, and not the gates of hell shall come against you. Amen. Praise ye the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. At this time, we're going to have mystery moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of life, mystery of God. Let me introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very good, Miss Sherry. I'm doing very well. What a great lesson. We experienced all the gates of hell this week, didn't we?
Every bit of it.
Okay, our question today. Where do the dinosaurs in God fit into God's plan?
Dinosaurs are mentioned in the Bible in Job chapter 40. They're not called dinosaurs until later. They're called behemoth. And you read that and you'll realize it's a dinosaur. Dinosaurs existed in the first earth age. 2 Peter 3:6, the world that then was. World means age. That was when we were in our spiritual bodies with the Lord, and Lucifer was the covering cherub. But then when he rebelled and drew one-third of God's children, brought sin into the equation, God got upset, shook the earth, and then the dinosaurs became extinct. So see, there's an answer for everything. And no, they were not on Noah's boat. They were extinct before then. Okay? Well, you know, David left his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
Since Satan cannot create, but only imitate, and defile that which belongs to God, his greatest joy is to desecrate that which is of the light. the temple vessels were captured and hidden away in Babylon, desecrated and mocked. But just as these vessels were returned, reconsecrated to our Lord, so all that belongs to our God will be cleansed and consecrated to Him alone.
That is beautiful, Scott. Thank you very much.
You're
that
welcome.
Is so great. Thank you so much, Scott Merson. In a few minutes, I'm going to pray for those of you who are sick. But first of all, let me pray for anyone who's not saved. If you'll pray this prayer after me and mean it with all your heart, God will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Wash away all my sins with the blood of Jesus.
Wash away all my sins with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in the Word of God.
Grow me in the Word of God.
And use me.
And use me.
To bless God.
To bless God.
And to bless mankind.
And to bless mankind.
I belong to Jesus.
I belong to Jesus.
Amen. 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 In a few minutes, my announcer's going to give you my telephone number. And yes, it's working again. The devil stuck his finger in it. And you might like to call and leave a message on my voicemail that you were saved. Now let me pray for the sick. Precious Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, I ask that the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in your wings. Wherever there is phlegm and nasal congestion and congestion in the lungs and the sinuses and the air passages, I call you to disintegrate, dissolve. Let the air of the Holy Ruach flow through you. Let the distress be gone, be healed in the name and the power of Jesus. To God be the glory. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet, dis-ease in the stomach, be at ease in Jesus' name. Broken hearts, oh, Lord, pour in the oil and the wine and comfort those who are in distress. God loves you. He sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. He restores health and cure to you. We praise you, Lord. We thank you. We give you all of the glory. In the name of Jesus, amen.
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 Amen. Now, if you were one of those who was healed, I felt the Spirit going out there, feel free also to call and tell me that. Well, you know, nothing is yours to keep. We are. The more you give away, the more you get. So all of these beautiful truths we get here from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, mysteries of God, beautiful tips on how to live. Make sure that you go and tell and share it. The world is starving and thirsty. They have no water, and you have that beautiful water. I want to give a shout out of thanks to my twin friend Scott Merson for Scott's stuff and being our announcer. We thank you and we appreciate you and your beautiful family. We certainly do. Remember that Jesus' name is called the Word of God, Revelation 19:13. In John 17:17, Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." Until next time, this is your host, Sherry Medlock, saying I love you, and I thank you with all my heart for listening. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And until next time, when we all get together as the family of God, we'll hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Yeah.
No, you did it.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
Always sing this gospel song, no higher hope, no greater love. A king who came, a life laid down for the world. I'll always sing this hymn of grace, heaven sent, here to save. A king who came, a life laid down for the world. A rugged cross, an empty grave, for God so loved the world that he gave. To us his one and only Son. I'll always sing this gospel song. Sing on, sing on. The storyline has always been how broken lives can rise again. What I could not do, you have done for me and the world. Oh, all the world. A rugged cross, an empty grave, for God so loved the world that he gave. To us his one and only Son. I'll always sing this gospel song. Sing on, sing on.
of mercy, never ceasing. Call for songs of loudest praise, and teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Raise the mountain, fixed upon a mount of lyre in love. You I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood.
We're listening to today's Modern Worship here in Brevard County, 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Now there is no guilt or shame for those who have been covered by the blood of Jesus. And now the words of our accuser have been robbed of all their power, and the enemy has been defeated by the blood of Jesus. So we stand with our hearts washed clean,
and we lift up our hands and sing. We are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. God, if you are for us, who can be against us? We are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. God, if you are for us, who can be against us? What can separate us from your love? Once we were the slaves and prisoners, now we're children of the King. The favored sons and daughters saved by the blood of Jesus. So tell me, death, where is your victory? And tell me, grave, where is your sting? You've been swallowed up in life forever by the blood of Jesus. And we stand as the ones redeemed, as we lift up our hearts and sing.
Testimony, the enemy has been. The Strength are